Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan. My co-host is still Otto Lowe.
Still. I haven't changed my name or anything.
And now we're going to be talking with Dr. Bryn Flanagan. And Dr. Flanagan is with the Glen Cove Hospital Family Medicine Residency Program. And, which I didn't realize, November is National Diabetes Month. And my understanding of diabetes is the number of people with type 2. I'm not talking type 1, because type 1 you're born with. Mm-hmm. Type 2, the individual almost creates it themselves. You can correct me if I'm wrong, right. But it's lifestyle and everything else that brings about not all type 2, but many type 2 diabetes, which means it's something that's avoidable.
Right. And what we're finding is basically is a very big epidemic here in the United States. Approximately 39, I would say, million people in the United States have diabetes, whether it be type 1 or type 2. And what we're seeing is basically...
Wow, that's over 10% of the population.
It is a lot of patients.
Wow.
And what we're seeing is we even have prediabetes, which is up to about 89 million patients with prediabetes. Some of these people don't even know they have it.
And what's pre? I'm sorry.
Prediabetes would be, again, they don't have the official diagnosis of diabetes, but their blood sugar is still high. Hasn't gotten to that point where they meet the critical area of basically diabetes.
And what's that?
Do glucose?
So glucose, let's say fasting greater than 125, or what they call hemoglobin A1C. I'm not sure if anyone has heard of that.
No.
It's a measurement of average blood sugar over 3 months, and that number would be 6.5 or greater.
Okay.
So, again, when you see your physician, again, he'll do routine blood work, and he'll see, let's say, if there's any abnormalities in the blood sugar. If they're slightly elevated, he'll order the hemoglobin A1C. If it is elevated, greater than 6.5, you have diabetes. Below that, 6.5 to 5.7, you have prediabetes. That's when we start focusing on, let's say, behavioral changes, dietary changes, exercise.
So you go to 6.8, mm-hmm. which means now you're diagnosed with diabetes.
Correct.
You can then go back down to 5 if you do the proper. You know, that doesn't mean you're diabetic then for life.
Correct.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Again, and that's the most important thing. Again, if we can instill some of these behavioral changes and basically change our lifestyle and moderation of certain things, yes, we can change diabetes and we can reverse it, which is a blessing for some of our patients.
You know, I was surprised in preparing for this that they also talk about HDL and triglyceride numbers being a factor in determining if you are going to be diabetic or not.
Yes.
Could you elaborate a little bit on that?
So there's something called the metabolic syndrome. And what the metabolic syndrome is, it looks at a patient, let's say, with 5 categories. It looks at blood pressure. It looks at truncal obesity or how much abdominal fat we have, how high their HDL or good cholesterol is. They look at their triglycerides as well as their belt size.
Mm-hmm.
So those 5 factors basically encompass things that might increase your risk for diabetes. Now, blood sugar, again, turns into triglycerides and cholesterol. So again, it goes vice versa. The higher the blood sugar goes, the higher the triglyceride goes. Unfortunately, we also see, again, with higher blood sugars, a lower HDL, which is the good cholesterol. The higher the good cholesterol, the better it is for heart health, again, overall, preventing strokes, kidney damage, loss of limbs. The lower it is, again, we're more at risk for, let's say, cardiac events.
I think belt size could be misleading. I have a few friends of mine that still wear the same belt size.
That's great.
They had when they were 15.
That's great.
But it doesn't quite fit.
Right. Right.
It goes down about 4 inches.
It's a little below the stomach line.
Yes, absolutely.
I have a friend, actually. He's a 36 waist.
Yeah.
He's my size.
Yeah.
His pants are down around, you know, halfway through his butt. It's like,
right.
No, pull your pants up.
They're basically holding his stomach
right
up.
Exactly.
Right. That's the new look anyway, these days, right?
Oh, well, that's one of the factors that you have to look at a little bit differently,
right.
I guess, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Loss of limbs, you said.
Yes.
And I recently heard somebody who lost a couple of toes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the person. Why is that? I mean, I don't understand the concept behind that. Diabetes then just...
So how I tend to
And once
describe,
that occurs, then you're in, you know, then it's just getting worse,
yes.
Obviously.
How I tended to describe diabetes is think of tile and grout. The higher the blood sugar and or cholesterol, it kind of seeps within the grout. And then basically the tile comes off the wall. Okay. And as, let's say, more stuff, let's say blood sugar, cholesterol gets behind the tile, it causes narrowing. And once you get narrowing, there's less blood flow going to extremities or pivotal parts of, let's say, the body which need blood flow. So again, the more blood sugar, that grout is going to come off and things are going to sneak behind it. And that's when we have the issues with regards to stroke and heart disease and loss of
memory. Oh, okay.
Even just like John, I have two friends, actually, one who's had several toes removed.
Oh, really?
And the other one who wound up with his leg basically from under the knee, and he now has a prosthetic leg. But I was close enough to him that I could see the red kind of creeping up his leg, and they couldn't do anything to stop it.
Right.
Oh, once it starts, then it's too late.
Yeah, right. And the only way they could stop it was to, take his leg off, basically.
Wow.
You know, so, and actually he was over in Glen Cove, and he did rehab over that way as well.
Great, great.
Which he was very happy with, by the way.
Fantastic.
So on your behalf.
Great.
Yeah.
But now, just take that person, and you had a limb amputated. That diabetes is still correctable. Or no, that now you've passed the point. Once that kind of stuff occurs, then you've abused yourself in history.
Yes. And what we see is, again, the longer you have diabetes and it's uncontrolled, the more likelihood that you're going to be on some medication for a long time. Because the most pivotal organ that we have right now is the pancreas with regards to, let's say, the control of blood sugar within our body. Over time, the pancreas tends to get weary, tends to burn out, so it doesn't produce enough insulin. And think of insulin and blood sugar together. They're almost like a lock and key. If you have the lock and key, it goes into the cell, which we need it to go into. If we don't have enough insulin, again, the blood sugar just kind of circulates within the blood, and that's where the damage is done.
Okay. Got
it. Like the numbers that we talked about, the glucose, the A1C, HDL, triglycerides. It sounds like people who are on the edge with these numbers should be monitoring them more frequently to try to catch any spikes before they become severe. Is there any recommendation? I guess each case is different.
Right.
Like every 6 months or whatever. A lot of times you're kind of restricted because of insurance or whatever it might be. You can't go for these tests all the time.
Right.
The only thing is, just jumping in there.
Yeah, sure.
If your number is 121, okay, and the other number is 6.3, you don't need to monitor it because you're so borderline. The point, you know what I mean? Like, at 2 or 3, you're in good shape.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're over 6... in my mind, that would just mean you have to start doing something preventative immediately, not come back in 6 months and find out 6.2 went to 6.3. I mean, you know the direction you're going at that point.
Right.
And it's, if you're in the 90s, you're fine.
Right.
So you go back in 6 months, you're in the 90s. This is the warning sign when you're,
Yeah, it's when it's not within the normal range. That's the warning sign. And unfortunately, sometimes our hands are tied with the insurance companies, as you said, Otto.
Right.
Because with regards to testing, let's say certain tests are covered once every 3 months, once every 6 months. And guess what? You will be stuck with a bill if we order that hemoglobin A1C within 3 months and it's not, let's say, had authorization from the insurance company to do so. But with regard to, let's say, monitoring, it depends on the patient. It depends on, let's say, how motivated they are to basically reverse it. If I know someone is motivated, then I'll give them, let's say, that free range of going 6 months. But if I'm on the, let's say, the cusp of, let's say, seeing how this patient will do, I'd rather see him and come back sooner and recheck just to make sure I don't miss anything and he doesn't miss anything. Because the higher the blood sugar is for a longer period of time, that's when we have issues with regards to end stage issues with, let's say, organ health.
Yeah, it's not a good, I don't know what the right, is it the disease, diabetes?
It is truly a disease.
It's really not a good thing because anybody I know who has it, it's not a fun thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
Like if they cut themselves, it's like forever.
Oh, really?
Usually That's what I see, at least. I don't know. Is that a fact?
So, you know? Again, blood sugar...
You don't heal that quickly.
Right, and blood sugar can affect organs, but it also can affect, let's say, the immunity itself. So, again, the higher the blood sugar, it decreases what our immune cells, or the things that fight off bacteria and viruses, how active they are against those. So, yes, with regards to cuts, you're more prone to getting infection. With regards to, let's say, cuts, is there enough blood flow going to that area? As I talked about, let's say, decreased blood flow. So, there's so many things that encompass diabetes, it's overwhelming, even for us, to try to put all the pieces together, you know?
Wow. Well, I've been preparing for this. You gave us a very, very nice PowerPoint presentation, which clearly we're not going to be able to go through on the show.
You printed 9 on a page?
I did 9 on a page.
I did 60 pages.
That's great.
Well, and these are very... they're still really clear. You can
read them. Right, absolutely.
Yeah. But the point I'm getting at is that we could do a show that would be multiple hours on diabetes. Mm-hmm. It's not a fun thing for people.
Right.
So I guess the real key is if you can not get it, that would be a really good thing.
Right.
Actually, we're going to talk about that, but that'll be after the break, which you have in another minute or two. Just quickly, what's the difference between 1 and 2?
So type 1 diabetes usually occurs at a younger age. And it's
you're not born with it.
Again,
it doesn't start
sometimes,
at birth.
Again, you can be born with it, but it usually occurs at a younger age, usually in, let's say, when they're young children, young adults.
Okay.
And it usually is caused by what they call an autoimmune attack on the pancreas. So autoimmune means basically your body attacks itself.
Okay.
And what could be that trigger? It could be anything from medications. It could be anything from a simple virus. Once you have type 1 diabetes, the pancreas doesn't really make insulin anymore. So those patients are, they need insulin their whole life. Type 2 diabetes usually comes about as we get older, usually over the age of 40. And that's due to, let's say, the epidemic of obesity in our country and around the world. That basically is associated with... let's say truncal obesity. There is a hormone that is produced within the fat cells that decreases insulin sensitivity, and that will cause the increase of blood sugar within the blood system.
Wow. Truncal obesity? I'm not happy with you, Brent.
No, sorry.
Actually, what we're going to do is we're going to go to a break, and this one, when we come back, we'll talk about some preventative type things. You're listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. We'll be right back.